Welcome to the Uncommon Church Podcast. Today, you'll hear a message from our pastor, Brad Kerrigan. We hope that it helps you to know God, grow strong in your faith, and do all that He has called you to do.
This morning, I was a little jet lagged. I was up at 4, thinking about you and loving on you. So I thought I knew where I wanted to go, and this is exactly what was on my heart and on my mind. But I opened our Instagram, church Instagram, and it had this verse from Psalm. And I thought, that is so weird, because that's the verse that I was going to preach. Now, I know nobody would know that except for me and God. Just going to have to trust me and take my word for it. This is the verse I was going to preach today. I did not communicate this verse. Nobody knew that this was on my mind and my heart. But this is what they posted on the gram yesterday. Psalm 27, verse 8. David's talking. You have said, Lord, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. So I'm just going to call it a coincidence or the Holy Spirit that was speaking. Jordana is probably the one that posted that yesterday, but spoke to my heart that this is where I wanted to go and talk about seeking the face of God. Did you notice right away, just leave the verse up for a minute, Hannah. It says, Lord, you said, seek my face. It is an invitation from God to seek his face. And I think and I feel that, you know how a sea turtle can live to be like 100 years old and they could be born in Florida, but they're swimming around Africa. And then when it's time to make babies, they swim all the way back to the place that they were born and climb up on the same beach they were born and put their eggs in the sand. Can you really think about how bananas that is, that an animal knows where they were born without GPS? Some of you people can't get to Kroger without GPS. Big amen here in the middle. But a sea turtle can be 1,000 miles away and be like, it's time to have a legacy. It's time to have a future, a destiny. I'm going to head back to this. It's just something in them draws them. Same thing with salmon. Salmon are out in the ocean doing salmon things. It's time to make babies. And they do it, and then they die. But they swim up the river that they were born in to put their eggs. It's just woven into their DNA. It is my opinion. It might be in the Bible. Somebody smarter than me will prove it. That it is woven in to the DNA of creation to seek the face of God. There's just something in us that longs to know his presence. And I think God would not have said it if it were not. It would be cruel to say, hey, seek my face, and it'd be impossible to do so. Therefore, by just common sense, the very fact that God invites us to seek his face says that we not only can seek his face, and if we will seek his face, we will find it. It is interesting, though, we're going to have a little Hebrew lesson. God's call was to seek his face, not to seek his presence. But those of you that know, in Hebrew, the word panim, face, also means presence. Because when you are face-to-face with someone, you are obviously in their presence. So they simplified it by saying, if you are face-to-face, you are also in the presence. So the word for face and presence is the same word. It is panim. Go all the way back to Genesis. Now, we were talking about this. If you've missed our little series on the presence of God, I don't remember which sermon, but it was about a month ago. And I talked about, in Genesis chapter 3, right after Adam and Eve sinned, God came to be with Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves, and the Bible says, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. So I went to the Hebrew, and it's exactly what you think it says. The Bible in Hebrew does not say Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God. The Bible says Adam and Eve hid themselves from the face of God. It's the same word, face and presence. Because you simply cannot be face to face with somebody without also being in their presence. this morning. Josie spoke at a women's event in Plymouth, England yesterday, and so she stayed over to visit with some friends. She'll fly home tomorrow. But before service, she FaceTimed me on the phone. And I got to be face-to-face with her, but I couldn't touch her. I couldn't smell her perfume. I couldn't hug her. So it was nice to have a form of her, but I was not in her presence. And sadly, I feel that's the way a lot of Christians worship. We have a form of God, but we're not in his presence. We sing about God, but we're not in his presence. Furthermore, you could be in somebody's presence and not be present. I don't know about you ladies, because Josie, when we're on a date, man, she's locked in. She's focused. When I'm on a date, I'm watching SportsCenter over her shoulder. Don't tell her I said that, but she's not here. It's what you get for skipping church. But many times I have been present with her and not been present with her. Does that make sense? You're thinking about taxes. You're thinking about climate control. You're thinking about the election. You're thinking about what car you're going to buy. You're thinking about that thing you got to do. Your mind is racing. You are with the one that you love, but you're not present with them. Does that make sense? I think that's how a lot of us worship. We're in the building. We're even singing the song, but we're not present in his presence. We're looking around, gossiping to ourselves about the people standing around us. We're thinking about the weird thing that happened that one time. Like, our mind is racing 1,000 places. We're in God's presence. The person next to you is bawling. They're laying on the floor. They're crying out, holy, holy, holy. And you're like, yeah, holy, holy, holy and stuff. You're present without being present in his presence. But notice what David said in the psalm. It's a choice we have to make. If I want to be with Josie and I want to be present in her presence, I have to choose to not look at SportsCenter. I have to choose to not look at this. And I have to choose to look dead in her face and focus on her. The same is true when we come to worship God. It is a choice that we worship him in his presence, that we seek his face in his presence. And a lot of churches nowadays talk about this. You know, because I go to a church conference or a leader's conference or a pastor's conference, and they'd be like, listen, you need to create an atmosphere for God's presence, which is true in part, but we have substituted having a really good atmosphere of God's presence but not actually having God's presence in so many worship services. So it feels like we have God's presence because the music's just right and the lights are just right and the haze and the feeling and the swell and the emotion. It's an atmosphere of his presence without his presence. I just want his presence. Sometimes the sweetest times in his presence are not in a corporate gathering. It's in our living room on a YouTube playlist of just worship where there is no distraction and there is no atmosphere, because you don't need sound and light. You don't need a crowd to enter into his presence. What you really need is just the quiet calm in whatever place you can be alone, and you really just enter in and you just learn to look at him and stare at him. And it, remember, it's an invitation that David says in Psalm 27. The Lord said, seek my face. My heart says, bet. Your face I will seek. Why would God tell us to seek his face if he's everywhere, though? Remember, God's omnipresent. God is everywhere, but he also wants to be somewhere. Because of the iPhone, I can take Josie with me. Now, please do not put this on YouTube. Please do not quote me on this. Just listen to the heart of what I'm saying. Because I can FaceTime Josie from anywhere in the world, Josie is kind of, but not at all, omnipresent. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And I can even look at her digitally. But there's times when I'm physically face-to-face that I could touch her, that I could feel her, that I could smell her. That is the difference between God being omnipresent and present. There is the manifest glory of God that we feel, and there is the unmanifested glory of God that is everywhere. God is everywhere. David also said in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where shall I go that I could flee your presence? If I go to the highest heights in heaven, you are there. But if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. The presence of God is everywhere. But why would there be an additional invitation to seek his face if it's not that he wanted us to come to a particular place in his presence? Yes, God is everywhere, but he also wants to be somewhere. God is everywhere in his unmanifested glory, but there's times where he wants to manifest his glory face to face. And that's why he said, seek my face. The God of everywhere wants to manifest his presence that you might long into his face, to see his face. And isn't it also interesting that in Genesis chapter 3, God longed to see Adam and Eve's face? The God of the universe has a need, and he needed to see Adam and Eve. The God of everywhere wanted to be somewhere, the Garden of Eden, and he wanted to walk with Adam and Eve. He wanted to look face to face with Adam and Eve. See, the God of everywhere does like to be somewhere. That's why he was in the garden. If you read the story in Genesis of God calling Abraham to establish this rescue mission for all mankind, and God came, the Bible says, and had a campfire and a meal with Abraham. The God of everywhere was suddenly somewhere. God spoke to Moses, who was a shepherd and wandering around in the wilderness, and the God of everywhere was in the burning bush. He was present, he was manifest, he was somewhere. The same experience that Moses had after he led the people out of slavery in Egypt and they went to Mount Sinai, Moses would go up to the top of Mount Sinai, and the God of everywhere would rest on the top of Mount Sinai and speak with Moses. And then God told Moses to tell the people, hey, we're going to build a tent. We're going to build a tabernacle for the presence of God, and build a box and cover it with gold and put two angels on the top of that box, the Ark of God's covenant. And the God of everywhere was present between those angels' wings. So there's times that God is everywhere, but he wants to be somewhere. Jesus came for 33 and a half years, and the God of everywhere was somewhere, inviting his disciples to follow him. Saul, who became Paul, was wanting to kill a bunch of Christians and arrest them. It was on his way to Damascus, and the God of everywhere was somewhere with Paul on the road to Damascus. And then Jesus said, I'm going to return to my Father, but I'm never going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And the 120 disciples waiting on that in the upper room for Pentecost came, God of everywhere came and rested in that upper room and set 120 people on fire to birth a church. Even in worship this morning, right before we prayed for all the people, the sick people, there was just a sense that the God of everywhere was somewhere, and he was right here in the middle of Euless as we were longing and looking into his face. Let me read it one more time. Psalm 27, verse 8. The Lord said, seek my face. And my heart made a choice and says, yes, Lord, your face I will seek. A few weeks ago, again, it was another one of those presence messages. So remember, somebody asked me, are you going to talk about the presence of God all year? Like, aren't you going to run out of material? Hold my root beer. So I don't remember what message it was. It was about a month ago. I talked about when David brought the Ark, the covenant box, from the house of Abinadab, and he brought it up to Jerusalem, because the temple was not in Shiloh anymore. Sorry, the tabernacle was not in Shiloh anymore. King Saul had moved it to Gibeon, to his hometown, so that he would have the prestige of having the priests and the worship and the sacrifices. But David said, the first thing David did when he became king is, yeah, but I want to have a place where I can worship his presence, not worship a form of his presence. So he said, I'm going to build my own tent, my own tabernacle. It was referred to as the Tabernacle of David. I'm going to put it in my backyard here in Jerusalem, and then we're going to go get that box. We're going to go get the presence of God with the angels' wings and the manifest presence of God. The God of everywhere was manifest on that box. He said, we're going to bring it to Jerusalem because I want there to be a place where we can seek the face of the Lord. And he said in 1 Chronicles, so this is as he's bringing the box to Jerusalem, his instructions to the people. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence once in a while. Oh, snap. You have the Bible version of the Bible. See, seeking the presence of God is not something we do once in a while on Sunday morning. Seeking the presence of God should be who we are. It identifies us. It marks us. We are marked by the presence of God because we seek his face continually. Again, why would the Lord instruct us to do it if he's everywhere? Because it's the difference between the manifest and the unmanifest glory. There's times when we seek his face personally, face to face. It's not just that God is everywhere, it's that I need God to be right here, right now. And that he's, when we do it continually, it's not a Sunday morning thing. It's not a church thing. It becomes an identity thing. I'm a person that seeks the face of God. Do you remember in Toy Story when Andy got Woody and he wrote his name, you know, with a Sharpie on Woody's boot and it said Andy? And that was a moment of pride for Woody, that he was marked by his owner. He was marked by Andy. He had been in Andy's presence, and Andy's presence permanently marked his boot. I think we should be permanently marked by the presence of God, that in worship, at our homes, and wherever we go, there is a mark on our lives that we are a people that are pursuing and continually seeking the face of God. Again, by the way, in this verse, it says that we would seek his presence. I looked it up. It doesn't say his presence. It says that we would continually seek his face. So remember, he said this to the people of Israel when they had brought the Ark of God's covenant. It brought his presence to Jerusalem. David built a tent in Jerusalem, and it wasn't for sacrifice. It wasn't for anything other than just worshiping. Because he said, I don't want to have a form of God, but not his presence. So as you're building your life, especially you young people, young families, as you're building your life, be like, I don't want a home without the presence of God. I don't want to raise my kids without the presence of God. I don't want to go to work without the presence of God. I don't want to sit around and eat a dinner without the presence of God. I want us to be marked by the presence of God. And David's tabernacle was known for just that worship, 24/7, seeking his face. What am I talking about? I am not talking about more religion. I'm talking about more of a relationship with a loving Father. More of just knowing him and feeling his presence and seeking his face. Again, it's the God of everywhere, but he wants to be somewhere, and he commands us to seek his face. It would be cruel if it were impossible to do. So it is an invitation that we absolutely can do to seek his face. And from the Garden of Eden to worship right here, it's always been about relationship, not about religion. And it's easier to make a religion out of seeking God than it is about actually seeking God. It's easier to have buildings and programs and that we write books and we have curriculum. It's easier to make a form of seeking God. It's harder to just seek his face. But once you do and you're looking at him eye to eye, there's nothing hidden. And he even knows when you're looking over his shoulder at SportsCenter because he sees you. And he looks into your soul and he knows that hidden pain that you carry, that unforgiveness that you carry, that fear that you carry. He sees you, which is probably why the Bible says don't be anxious for anything. Because once we get face to face with the one who loves us and provides for us, we trust that we have a loving Father. Like, could you imagine you come from a wealthy family? Millions, millions of dollars. Money means nothing to you. You buy business class plane seats. You don't have to get them for free. Like, there's just, and you realize you're young, you're starting out, you're buying a car, you're buying a house, and you're a couple of grand short, and you're like, crud, what am I gonna do? And you're like, oh yeah, my father's like super rich, and he loves me, and he's a good dad. So hey, Dad, I think I need to borrow some money or whatever. Can I come see you? Come right over. In fact, I'll come to you. And he comes pulling up, and you're face to face. You're like, hey, I hate to ask, but I have this need. Don't forget, this is a loving father who's rich. You're like, I need a couple of, can I borrow it? And that your dad's gonna be like, no, but I'll give it to you because you're my kid and I love you and I have more than I need. And we come to the Lord in worship or we come to the Lord in prayer and we have this need and we think he doesn't wanna meet that need? That's crazy talk. You need to be set free from your addiction to pornography? You need to be set free from your addiction to weed or alcohol. You need to get set free from that anger that just burns in your soul where you lash out at people. You need to get free from something. You need a roof over your head and food in your belly. I didn't say want, I said need. You can come to your Father that loves you and you can be in his presence, you can be in his face and say, Father, I have a need. He wants to bless you. This is a difference between being an orphan and being a child of the Most High God. Too many Christians see themselves as orphans, that we do not have a loving father. We don't have anybody we can go to. It's just us in the orphanage with the other orphans, and I got to scrap for what's mine. Or I have been adopted into a family with a loving father who has everything, and if I have a need, I can come to him and say, Dad, I have a real need here. He wants to meet that need. He's such a loving father, he often wants to meet our wants just to show off at how much he loves you. You're like, man, I don't need those new pair of Jordans, but I kind of want them, Dad. Your dad loves you and wants to bless you. Does that make sense? He's for you, not against you. This is the whole difference between a religion and a relationship. In a relationship, you begin to trust the love of your father, and you don't talk to him from far away. You get in his presence. You learn to look at him, and you learn to trust him, and you learn to long for him. And it's in these quiet moments of worship and adoration that our faith is built. And when I'm really in those moments of intimacy, I'm using my wife as an example. If you're single, maybe you've got a best friend, a roommate, a sibling, a parent, somebody that you just love. It's your favorite person in the whole wide world. And you're sitting down for a meal or a cup of coffee and you're close together. You're not going to be shouting and clapping in their face. There is time for that, like when we celebrate and we thank the Lord and we praise the Lord. But there's moments of quiet. Like it was somewhere about the 20, 25 minute mark. I noticed that Lene stopped singing and Alan stopped singing, but he just began to play. And I was so proud of you, because it's in those quiet moments that we get nervous. And we're like, do I need to start shouting or clapping or something? No. It's just that intimate moment in his face. Just look at him. Just adore him. And here's the thing. If we'll learn to adore the Lord, a light bulb is going to go off and we're going to have this revelation. Not only do we learn to adore his presence and his face, buckle your seatbelt. He is seeking your face. He longs for your face. He longs to look at you. And you'd be like, but I have this pain, and I have this brokenness, and I have this unbelief. I know, but he crossed the cosmos to be with you in worship and to be with you in a quiet place in your home. He longs to look at your face. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's crazy about you. He loves you so much. As much as we're learning to long for his presence, he longs for your presence. So when you're in those quiet moments of worship and adoration, when you are having a cup of coffee with the one that you love, whether it's a romantic love or a, you know, best friend, roommate, sibling love, you're out there and you're looking, you're concentrating, are you talking the whole time, or are you talking some and listening some? Some of you chatterboxes is talking. In a healthy relationship, you speak and then you stop speaking and you listen. But so many Christians come into worship services and we're like, sing a song, sing a song, sing a song, sing the quiet song, sing the quiet song, and we're done. And the Lord's like, when you enter into the Lord's presence, yes, we sing and we speak and we pray, but there's also moments where you just be silent and you say nothing and you just listen and you hear. It's not going to be an audible. It's going to be you hear the Lord speaking in your soul. We just need to learn to be quiet in those moments of worship. So many times Christians will tell me, they're like, yeah, I never really hear God saying anything, but they also rarely take any time to seek his face. His mouth is connected to his face. So if you never seek his face, that's why you're not hearing his voice. We need to be really intentional about seeking his face. Like, if Josie and I have a date night, you know, hey, Friday night, 6:30, we're going out, we're going to go to this restaurant, maybe we'll catch a movie, who knows? Maybe we'll just wander around, you know, the whatever. There's no good wander around places here. Okay, you're in Dallas, and you're just going to go wander around, you know, Clyde Warren Park or something. Ulysses needs a wander around place. Actually, we're building a wander around place. They're putting a lake, all this construction over here, all those new homes, there's going to be a lake in the middle of all those homes. So in a few months, you'll have a wander around place. You can wander around the lake. Intentional. the things that go through my mind. I was thinking about the building project and the city and the construction. Okay, here we are. Intentional. When you're in the presence of your beloved, you have to be intentional about that moment. Like, so many people skip church because seeking his face in church is not something they're intending to do. It's just something, if they have time, they'll swing by. Which is why it's like you'll see people and you're like, hey, we go to the same church? Because I only see you like once a month. If I'm going to be intentional about seeking the face of my wife, I need to make an appointment. I need to make sure I'm there. I need to not worry about work or school or life. I need to be in his presence when I'm in his presence. I have to be intentional about it and then discipline myself. I say no to everything else because I want to seek the face of God or seek the face of the one that I love. Nothing is going to distract me from that. It's a conscious choice. I'm seeking the face of God. And just one final side note. God's not lost. Like, I just need to find Jesus. He's not the lost one. He's always where he says he will be. And I'm going to seek his face. Alan, I know I normally write long sermons, but this is a short one. So wherever you are, start. Yeah, there you go. I was a little jet lagged. It was as far as I got. I'm not saying you, sometimes we disqualify ourselves from seeking his face because we did get drunk. We did sleep with somebody we're not married to. We did look at porn. We did scream at our kids or our spouse. Like, and because of the shame, we're like, because I did bad, I judge myself and I'll skip church or I'll just come late or I'll just kind of, and I'll just quietly stand and honor that he's God and I messed up. One of my earliest memories, we were at my grandparents' house, and they had it's hard to explain. The center part was hard gravel, I guess with some tar or asphalt that they had made hard, but when the rollers go through on the sides, it's still real soft gravel. I don't even know what that's about. It's a country house, country road. And my sister, if I was 3 or 4, she's 5 years older, so she's like 8, maybe 9. She's riding her bike. She's still new to bike riding or so, and don't tell my sister, but she's not the most athletic person in the world, so the fact that she was on 2 wheels was a good thing. But she hit one of those soft spots on the edge, big wipeout, scratches and scrapes, but especially, it was her right knee, especially her knee was cut open, gravel and blood everywhere. She comes screaming back to the house, and my grandmother and my mom took her into the bathroom, and they got the little shower head thing, and just began to, and she was just, you know, when you're that age, you can't even cry. You're just doing that thing with your bottom lip. And they began to rinse it out. And I just remember my mom was just like, honey, look at me. Honey, look at me. Because she was staring at the blood pouring out of her knee and all the gravel. And my mom just being like, honey, look at me. Look at me. And my grandmother was cleaning and picking out gravel and stuff. My sister's like 55. She's fine today, by the way. I know right now some of you are really worried about her. But my mom just kept saying, honey, look at me. Look at me. It's one of my earliest memories as a child. And whenever my sister would look at my mom, and then my grandmother could really clean and get it all the funk out, she was calm. She was probably in terrible pain because they're pulling chunks of rocks out of her leg. There's blood everywhere. But she's just, honey, look at me. I feel like some of you, this is the word of the Lord. Life's been kind of painful lately. And you got rocks and blood and pain and you're, and the father's just like, honey, look at me. You're going to be okay. I'm going to rinse away the rocks and the dirt and the pain and the blood and you're going to heal and you're going to be okay. You just need to look at me. Some of you, you don't need another sermon. You don't need another book or a conference or a podcast. You just need to enter into the father's presence. And just look at him. Amen. Hop up on your feet. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God, or this whole message just sounds like crazy talk, you're like, I have no grid for what you're talking about. it sounds good. I think there's something in me that's like, yeah, but it's not quite a yes. How do I get from here to there? Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way. The way meaning the path, the street, the road. I am the access point. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, can you repeat that with me? No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to seek the face of God? You have to go through Jesus. The Father is accessible through the Son. And if you're new to church stuff, we don't worship two or three different gods. You know, you hear about Father, Son, and Spirit. We see from Genesis to Revelation, God is in like three persons. Like, I have a body, I have a soul, and I have a spirit. Like, I am made in the image of God, and I have three parts of me. God is one God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we see him as a Father. We see him as the Son in Jesus. And then when Jesus returned to heaven, he said, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Father says, if you want to see me, you come through the Son. You come through Jesus. And here's the thing. Sometimes we do sin. And we don't want to come look at the Father because we feel the pain and the shame of like, ah, I can't believe I did that. Well, that's why we come through the Son. We repent of our sin. We ask God to forgive us of our sin. And then he removes our sin and opens the door, opens the way to look at the Father face to face. And I know this is, it's a mystery. It takes great faith. But Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever's going to draw near to God, you have to believe that he exists and he rewards those that what? Yeah. He rewards those that seek him. By the way, what's the reward? Jesus. He's always the reward. There's not like, I seek God's face and I seek his presence so I can get something. He is the thing. He's the thing. It's just more of Jesus in my life. More of his power, more of his presence. It's not a thing, it's a person. We're gonna do two different calls. First call, no prayer team, no nothing. This is a call to you to respond. I don't know what Alan's gonna do, but I hope he's gonna create an atmosphere for us to seek the face of the Father. And you might need to come down here to the front. You might need to go out to the sides or into the back to find some room. You might need to kneel at your seat or bow on the floor or stand. And for the first time in your life, raise your hands and your voice and your heart. But the call is to seek the face of God. A lot of you that have already been stirring this up, it's an immediate yes. But for a lot of you, it's like, oh, this is going to be weird. Yeah. But I double dog dare you to put aside your fears and like, well, I just don't want anybody to think I'm a crazy person. When you die and go to heaven, the person sitting next to you is not going to be standing there. It's just going to be you and the one whose face we seek. So don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Let's just seek his face. Can we do that? All right, and then I'll come back and we'll talk here in a minute. But let's just seek the face of God.
Thank you for listening to the Uncommon Church Podcast. If this message has impacted your life, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. And for more information on our church community, you can click the link in the description or visit uncommonchurch.tv.